Seriously, Paul, I do wish this was a vacation. I really think you could use a break from all this scientist work. It's almost as if you've been doing too much science.
Too much science? Is that possible? Seriously, Betty, you know what this meteor could mean to science. If we find it, and it's real, it could mean a lot. It could mean actual advances in the field of science.
No, I know.
Nestled in the bosom of the Rocky Mountains, Brian and Baxter show the desire to defeat stupidity in the face of certain stupidity. Join us now for Warning Radio.
Ranger Brad, I'm a scientist. I don't believe in anything.
Just never gets old.
Really?
Not to me anyway, I don't know.
Oh. Go ahead.
Does it get old to you? Software updates are available for my computer.
Not now.
No. Not now.
We'll be back in like an hour when it resets itself.
So here we are. It is Warning Radio with Brian and Baxter, and tonight it's actually Brian and Baxter.
Yeah, it really is.
So Detour got mouthy. We offed her. Fired her, I mean.
Right.
So
we fire her all the time.
Yeah, she deserves it, though. No, actually, she's doing some sort of work-related thing of some sort.
And she keeps saying that money is more important than whatever it is we get out of this.
You know, if that was true, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, me too.
So, just having some munchies. It's today's 15th. We're halfway through June.
Yep.
Already. Show's off to a rip, snort, and start. So what do we got to talk about?
Because
there's stuff we've been talking about all week.
Let's see. We've talked since the last lecture. Next, for those of you in the local area, if you'd like to send out some email just to annoy people. A little crunchy there.
That's a good job.
Next Saturday on your show, Mr. Jeff Peckman will be on talking about the Denver Extraterrestrial Commission. I would suggest you send some emails off to Channel 9 to let them have your opinion on what exactly that commission is good for. And let your friends know about that, too.
And that's you local people here.
Then
obviously.
Again, if you're not local, hey, send it to them. They don't know.
Yeah, really. Yeah. So anyway, that's Channel 9.
It's open to everyone in the galaxy.
I think it's 9news.com is the website of the channel. So, yep, that's going to be pretty horrific. There was a really funny thing that I don't know that we talked about last week, but we could have. And that would have been Brian Dunning being had by Shirley Ghostman.
Ooh, that was, well, it wasn't just Brian.
Yeah, well, but the thing is like...
He was the furious one.
You know, Michael Shermer was a little bit more, I think, aware of what might be going on. So he played along a little smoother, I think, than Brian Dunning. But Brian Dunning came back and admitted that he had been had. And I thought that was rather big of him. And
you know, I think that would have been great. I wish we would have pulled for that. I would have run with it.
Oh, yeah.
The minute Shirley walked out, I would have been like, oh, come on, man. We just got to go for this. Let's play along.
That would have been hysterical. For those of you that don't know, Shirley Ghostman is this comedian by the name of Mark Wooten out of Great Britain. And he is, to many, a big pain in the ass, and to many, absolutely hilarious. And to us, he is absolutely hilarious. He often plays the psychic... with quotey fingers, really horrible psychic by the name of Shirley Ghostman, kind of a cross-dressing guy that does really horrible readings. And he really gets off on fooling his audience Sacha Baron Cohen style, Borat style. So they're completely unaware that he's not who he says he is, and he just absolutely throws these incredible tantrums and it's very funny, really is. So if you YouTube Shirley Ghostman, you'll see all kinds of fun clips. But Brian Dunning was a man enough to come back and say, yeah, you got me. You got me on that one. So I was pretty impressed with him on that.
No, he did good.
We'll have to get him back on the show for that and talk just about his Shirley Ghostman experience.
Well, I was
going to
say, tell him that he's going to be a co-guest with a world-famous psychic from the UK.
Maybe we can get Knocker Lee on the show for that one to pretend to be Shirley Ghostman. Because I think he'd have an easier time with the accent than me. But
oh, God.
We could have Skip Latte on that same show. I'm just loving these munchies. Cool.
Still say it looks like the bottom of a bird cage, but
kind of does.
Let's see. Another interesting note on the examiner page for Mr. Peckman. Let's just say last Friday I was bored, needed something to do, so I decided to go comment on everybody's page on the examiner that needs to be commented about.
Right.
Actually, one of them I didn't because I was so overwhelmed with dumb that I just couldn't do it. But with his, he was rattling on, you know, disclosure that, disclosure this. I posted a few things, but the post that hit there today was amazing. It says, you keep asking for disclosure from the government. Why? You guys claim you already know it. What's the point?
Yeah.
And I agree. I never thought of it that way. They all claim that they know it or know people that are releasing the evidence.
Whistleblowers.
Yeah, what's the point of disclosure then? So if somebody else says the same thing they've already said?
Yep.
That's just dumb.
Thing is, the people that believe it, believe it. The people that don't believe it are not going to believe it either. So it's going to sit right where it's sitting. There's no fence sitter that's going to go, oh, you know, now that they've got the government coming forward saying nothing. It'll just never happen. You know, I don't know. The whole thing. I don't even know where I was going with that. Obviously.
Well, the thing is, like I pointed out to them, was so, okay, their big example is, I think, Great Britain, Germany, France, I don't know, a couple of other
countries,
I don't remember who they were, have already disclosed their information, and we need to follow suit. If we have, or if they've already disclosed the supposed information, where is it?
Right.
I mean, what happened? Where is all this absolutely need-to-know proof? It isn't there. It's a bunch of more eyewitness testimony.
Yeah.
Which we already have. I mean, what's the point?
You know what? I'm gonna take this call.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, why?
I have to, because it's work-related.
Is it like the Pope?
No. No, it's work-related. So
you're feeling sleepy.
Not that kind of work.
Oh.
So.
Now, that's something we could bring up is, sure, just mute yourself.
Well, unless you want to listen to me do work.
I don't care. See, you already
Hey, I just got a phone call from you guys.
This is just the best radio
So I'm assuming
the world.
There might be a computer problem? Yeah.
Is this riveting people?
Yeah, this is good stuff.
This is great.
This is good stuff. How's it going?
Now, one thing I could bring up while he's blathering on to his customer over there is me and him both have completed our 14-hour course in hypnosis.
Ah, okay.
So we're certifiable hypnosis
people
now.
Would you be able to do that from the server?
You can do anything from the server.
Because that's going to put you in a better position, and then because you may just need that printer driver on that computer up there. That may be what the problem is. So I can take care of that tomorrow.
Just reboot it.
No problem. Bye. God, they love me. All right.
Yeah, why fix it on the phone when you can charge them to go down?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
I look at it.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm not going to go, oh, all you have to do is this. I just say, yeah, I'll just come down and fix it tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, as I was saying, we're...
I wasn't listening.
Hypnosists now.
Yes, we are. We are, and we...
That's
and,
an official
fact,
Rocky Mountain paranormal word now, hypnosists.
Hypnosists, and the thing is all of you in the chat room...
You're all hypnotized.
Yes, you've been hypnotized... Excuse me, eating munchies, sorry.
10:30 a.m. Channel 20. Thank you, Rick.
What is that? We've hypnotized him to do our bidding.
Right. He is talking about the Your Show.
Right on.
Channel 20. Wow, I've never been on Channel 20.
I forgot that Channel 20 does that. They do the Channel 9 crossover. The unholy union.
The local stations are so screwed up in what affiliates they are and what they do now, I can't even I haven't got it figured out.
It's pretty ridiculous. Well, we actually have a guest tonight.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, this is...
Does she see dead people?
It's Miss X.
Does she see dead people?
Yes. She does. This is actually a true story of a woman who sees dead people every single day. She goes to work, she sees dead people. And so this will be very entertaining, I think, to speak with her. And we are keeping her identity a secret. And there's also a possibility that everybody knows my ex, Rhonda, maybe popping in to say some swear words on the air to basically amuse Reap.
Yeah. So, he's in there, so.
Yeah, so that'll be good that he can be entertained by that. But, so yeah, this Mrs. X will actually be training Rhonda to see dead people. Allison was contemplating wisdom. Can you read that on the air?
Oh, the fact that Allison's talking about Daughter of the Dead again?
Yeah, let's talk about who, Allison Smith from JREF.
The holder of the $1 million keys.
Yes.
Well, so. She has her hands on the $1 million keys. She's right. Not actually the holder of them. She's allowed to touch them.
They get waved in front of her a lot. Yeah.
She had
among other things.
She had the unfortunate happenstance of being on the TV show Daughter of the Dead with Mr. Christopher Moon.
Mm-hmm. That was some fantastic viewing there.
There was so much orb activity in that show, I could barely take it.
There was a lot in that show I could barely take. That was painful. But, so yeah, it'll be very interesting to hear her talk more about that experience as time goes by. Because she was portrayed as pretty much a mooniac. So, I think it'll be good to see her. Because last time I talked to her, she was not a huge fan, but she certainly came across that way on the TV show.
Oh. So. I've heard a rumor that we need to ramp up the mics.
Bunch of friggin' crybabies. See, I've been trying to make it easy on people so they don't have to get hurt by our
Well, you know, the FCC did just pass a rule that commercials and broadcast show have to be at the same level now.
Really?
So they can't blow you out of the room.
You know, I used to hate that. I mean, it was great for, like, certain software that would detect the volume change and then pause,
drop it back down.
Or,
yeah.
You know, if you're recording, it would pause for commercials because they were louder. So when you can, let us know if that's better. Does that sound better? I mean, we're being a little mellow here tonight, you know. Obviously, we got
this
the
This is
kind of
like
going.
An NPR show tonight.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Welcome to Ghost Chat. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times. So anything else we need to cover before we...
You're eating granola. You might as well.
It's true.
Let's see. Talked about the Door to the Dead, even though we weren't going to.
Right.
Covered the Pac-Man fiasco.
Right.
Said something bad about Chris Moon. That's important.
Yeah. That's every show. Say something bad about
we have to dedicate the whole show to that.
Yeah. Now we have.
Just like we do every lecture.
Yeah, everything's dedicated to Chris Moon. Chris Moon, this is dedicated to you.
I think we need to take a poll of people sending us in emails to see whose chat room we take on next, like we did last week with the TAPS chat room.
You know, last week's going to be hard to top.
Well, you start at the top, so.
Yeah. You know, if we've got some time, maybe tonight we'll pop in there.
I'm in there right now.
Let's see what we can do. Well, don't distract everybody.
They've had 3 people kicked out since I logged in.
Wow. So it's really not all that impressive to get kicked out.
No, it isn't. The only thing you have to do to get kicked out of that room is show up. So, Oh, we did see...
I don't even do that.
You could discuss the new footage we saw of the Halloween special.
Of the Halloween special?
TAPS.
Oh, God.
Because that was beautiful.
Yeah, we pretty much
I got to go archive that.
Yeah, the Halloween special that they did live where the jacket tug was so well highlighted. Really got to see some behind-the-scenes footage of it, and yeah, that whole show was staged, and really got the strong evidence on the jacket pull, too. So, so yeah, if there's a place we can send people to go look at that, then we need to do that. And oh yeah, Rhonda's walking through the door, so... And, well, and just so you know, Rhonda, we're not disclosing who we're calling. Because she's secret.
So far, everybody knows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So far, and everybody knows that she sees dead people. That's pretty much where we've left it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, now it's Mrs. Willis or Miss X. We haven't really.
I was thinking about the tall man myself, but I didn't know how we'd pull it off. Tall man.
I bet she would like.
Let's call her Angus.
Angus. That's good. I like Angus.
Should we let her pick? Is she on?
No.
No. Okay.
We'll be calling her in just a moment.
Whew.
So how are you?
I'm good. I was on the elliptical machine. Look.
See, now everybody can see you.
Oh. Call me Angus. Okay.
Call you retarded.
Into the room to do my roots. Did you see that?
Well, you're sitting between, you know, two beauty school dropouts.
I know. Tweedle pretty and Tweedle prettier.
Yeah.
Very nice.
But I got to work out. The clock is ticking. I'm going to be 28, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's coming fast. That's exhausting. Say hi to Reap, by the way. Say hi to Reap. He's in the chat room.
Reap.
Looking at the chat room is probably not going to help you much. But
no, I just want to see what he's saying.
Well, I don't think he's in the right one because right now nobody's in
there. Oh, that's that one.
Yeah, but I think you might have gotten logged out or something.
Hi, Reap.
Wow. Oh, I see what's going on. There he is.
Okay. So he'll say hi when the lag catches up. So anyway.
Okay, Stu, you have a link to that video coming your way.
Okay, and Stu's going to put it in the chat room?
No.
Oh.
I guess he could. Yeah, put that in the chat room.
Yeah, put it in the chat room, Stu, so everybody can go see the TAPS expose. So.
And they've not had not one word to say to you guys.
Who, TAPS?
Yeah.
No, they keep
TAPS
ignoring
is,
the
TAPS
fact.
Is, or CAPS? TAPS is falling apart. The TAPS family, with the exception of the links on the main page, is gone. TAPS family radio's gone. TAPS family website's gone. Thank you, Brent Fair.
But not Ghost Hunters. The show doesn't seem to be suffering whatsoever.
No. I mean, they will, but they're not right now. So, just a matter of time. So,
Reap said hi.
Cool.
There it is. Hi.
Hi.
Should we...
He's charismatic and chatty. Shut up, Reap. My God, I get so tired of you talking so much.
I was just on his show a little bit ago, so... And he
was, yeah. So he's tired of you.
Well, it was weird because I get this phone call, ID unavailable, which always means a bill collector, so I don't answer that crap, you know. So
that's when you pick up the phone with a weird accent.
So, yeah, I pick up the phone, and I hear a British guy, and I hear this other guy just talking over the top of each other. It sounds like an episode of Metalocalypse or something.
Or, like,
I don't know what's going.
Christmas at my mom's house.
That's true. And, it's the two people talking with each other, and I'm like, hello? And they're just like, rah, 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 and I hung up on them. And then the call's back, and then... Baxter! Oh, hi, Reap. So.
So Reap was the one with the accent?
No, it was everything. I don't know if Reap does accents. We'll have to find out.
I don't know, because here's the thing. Reap always puts all these things on MySpace and is like, I have a question, and call me, or, you know, give me your number and I'll call you about it, and then he never does. So.
Yeah, Reap's upset. He says you hung up on him.
Yep, I sure did. So, what are you going to do when you get a weird call like that? I mean, it sounded like it was probably a wrong number or really disorganized bill collector.
Well, if the first thing that I don't hear is heavy breathing, I just hang up. I'm like, I don't care. It's not anything good.
Okay, somebody else just got banned from the TAPS chat room, people.
Very nice.
I'm going to keep a body count on this thing.
I'm gonna give our guest a call.
Yeah. Okay. So, are we going to let her decide? Now, did you?
I got 50 bucks to bet on who's going to slip up and say her name first.
Between he and I? Do you know what her name
is? I know what her name is,
but you're just better than us.
I haven't talked to her, so I don't have any reason to slip.
I wonder if it's going to be an even bigger secret of how I know her.
Oh, you know what would be cool if I actually... There we go.
Are we going to let her pick her name?
I don't know, we just go
Do
with
we
Angus.
Have to refer to her as anything? Can we just say, hi, how's it going?
Could.
Say, hey, girl.
Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's
See, that worked.
You.
Hey,
Going
you.
Okay. She who is to remain unnamed.
Yes, yes.
We were going to let you pick your name.
Belial.
Choices are Mrs. X.
Pick my name?
Miss X.
Yeah. I can't, I'm not that creative.
I like
if
Ms.
I do
X.
If I do come up with something, it's like the dead girl. I don't know.
Okay.
I like that.
I liked Deep Throat.
Deep Throat. Agent Dark Booty.
I like that.
Yeah. There's a good one. Okay, we could go with that. Agent Dark Booty, can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Mm-hmm.
And how long you've been doing it, and then we'll get into more specifics after that.
Okay. So, what I do is I go to the scene of any death and determine cause and manner of death. Manner being, is it natural, is it accidental, is it suicide, is it homicide? Natural. And then the cause being, you know, what caused the death, be it a bullet, be it blunt trauma, be it a disease process, whatever. I've been doing it for a little over a year and a half professionally, but I've been in school for it for 5 years now.
I thought you were going to say you were doing it amateurly.
Yeah.
Just as a hobby.
I've only been doing it. It's my first day. That's what I like to say when I first show up on scene and the cops look at me and they think I'm 5 years old. I'm like, that's my first day.
Now, do you? Does your employer supply you with a uniform or something?
Oh, yeah.
We have
a badge. We have a uniform.
And is the uniform consist of a T-shirt that says, I see dead people?
No, it says, I'm a coroner. I want your body.
Uh-huh. I got one of those.
Yeah, that's true. Well, very cool. Now, we, you know, since we're a paranormal radio show, or a paranormal
claims investigation
team, whatever you want to call us, you know, we want to know.
We don't see dead people.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, see, we never see dead people.
We would love to.
The thing is a lot of groups like to go out and investigate cemeteries because they seem to think that there's going to be some sort of paranormal activity around the body. Well, who would know better than you if that's true?
Right. Well, I can tell you I've investigated over 700 deaths.
Nice.
And I've seen a lot of dead bodies, over 700, probably 4 to 5 a day. And I don't see much of anything. And I actually work the grave shift right now with, you know, 5 to 10 bodies in the house at one time. I sleep fine. They don't wake up and poke me in the eye. They don't, you know, kick me as they're walking by. Nothing happens.
All right, so...
Unfortunately for me.
Occasionally they sit up.
I know, wouldn't that be good?
So, okay, so to do this job, do you have to have a bit of a sick sense of humor?
Pretty much.
So, we have to ask. We investigated...
I know where this is going.
Yeah, this is bad. We investigated Children's Hospital before they tore it down. And we spent quite a bit of time in the morgue.
Okay.
We're just sick way.
Yeah, we're just weird that way. I would get in the refrigerator and hang out and stuff like that. But we noticed that there was an office right there connected to the morgue that had big glass windows. And we noticed that there were these little handprints where no children should be on the glass window. And the only thing we could picture is somebody with a very sick sense of humor playing peekaboo with whoever was in the office with a baby's body.
See, and she giggles. She
like
laughs.
That. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love it.
Now, the bad part is I really creeped Baxter out tonight because when we were discussing this, I said, you know, there is the possibility that the hands weren't actually attached to anything when this was happening. I think he actually got creeped out.
That was a little creepy to think about, but it was just hands.
You know, it's quite possible. Who knows?
Yeah, I know.
So is this kind of behavior something that actually goes on?
You know, we try not to admit it in public, but, you know, we'll high-five them, we'll pose them, we will, you know. It's not necessarily a really... bad thing, I don't think. When you roll someone on their side and they fart at you, you gotta, you know, high five them, do something, and acknowledge their existence, even if it is in the afterworld.
You don't have time to run out and get a Hallmark card and thank them, right?
Right, you don't. So, you know, you improvise. But I can picture that occurring. The handprints on the window. Yes, I can. Unfortunately.
I had a question. Do you mind if I ask?
Go ahead,
a question?
Ask your question.
Okay. You know, in school...
Now, can you hear her okay?
She's kind of quiet, but
okay.
I can hear.
Is that better?
There you go.
Okay, because I've never been accused of being quiet before, and I don't want to start now. So, we at school, we went on a, in the chat room, you guys, I'm going to medical school for physical therapy, and also the way that I know Sergeant Ghetto Booty is that we're, I'm going to be taking classes to become a coroner soon, and because this is my thought, is that if I fuck up so horribly at one job, then I've secured my position in the other, and so either way, I'm in work, I'm in the money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so in PT school, we went on a little field trip to a company called Allosource, where they harvest donated organs, tissues, whatever. After we left, you know, we're kind of like, oh, that was a frozen leg that we just were looking at, and the whole thing. And so after we left, we wondered how did they go about getting the, but we forgot to ask while we were there, how do they go about getting these harvested tissues or the corpses? They said they don't ever actually have whole persons at this Allosource place. Do you guys work with that you take parts of bodies, or when somebody is a tissue donor, do you just remove the tissues and ship it off, or do you saw it off, or do you put it in a blender?
No, I don't usually do that. I do coordinate it. I will call the minute somebody dies. I will call Donor Alliance, who's a company that does that, and they will come out and harvest their organs, whatever we've allowed them to have. Depending on what kind of death it is, you know, we'll tell them what they can and can't have, and they come and take it.
When you say depending on what kind of death it is, meaning do you need the organs or the tissues in order to determine cause of death, or?
Right. If we're suspecting somebody's died from a heart attack or even a, you know, lung related, we will tell them to stay out of the chest, but they can come in and they can take bone tissue and they can take the eyes and they can take, you know, anything else that they think they need, but they have to stay away from the heart. Other deaths, they can have just about anything they want. They take vertebral bodies, they take heart valves, they take skin, which is really creepy, might I add, because they put you through this little cheese grater kind of thing. That's real cool.
Yeah, we got to see... We got to see that. That was actually pretty cool. It looked like a giant tapeworm.
Oh, now, do they use the electric one? It actually spins as they pull it along, or are they using the manual kind?
I saw the electric one. I didn't see how they actually harvested the tissues.
Oh, that's fun to watch.
They have this little cheese grater thing they put around your skin, and it peels it off.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it looks like some sort of mesh.
Then you grow it on a mesh and make more.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I wondered what they did with the hair on the skin.
They donate it to Chris Moon so he can donate it to Locks of Love.
Well, for shit's sake.
I imagine it just starts growing on the donor body or the donee body. Again.
Wouldn't that be just the worst part, though, if they had to graft some area that had some sort of coarse pubic type of hair right onto your neck or something like that? Nobody's going to want to make out with you.
I'm thinking
they wouldn't do that.
I thought you had blonde hair. Now you have red. That's odd.
I know.
And it's short and curly. It has a tattoo.
It's short and curly.
Yeah, it's all short and curly on your shoulder right there.
It's sort of like a Brillo pad right here. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, man, I thought the show couldn't take any worse turns.
You invited me over. You knew what
Rick's over
happen.
Here going, cheese grater, great, there goes tomorrow's Italian dinner plans.
So what else are we going to ask, Brian? I had some good questions before.
Just the fact that, like you were saying, the whole she gets to, you know, play with dead people all the time, and unfortunately there's no paranormal activity around them, so I guess maybe there's like a waiting period between the paranormal activity and the death.
Hey, that's
gosh, you would think so, but we've had bodies in our office for up to 400 days. We've got some pieces and parts of people that we found along the way, and you know they don't do anything much.
That's not as good as the story of the body of ashes near the cocoa dispenser.
Right. No.
You know the story.
Yes.
That's wrong.
Somebody was making cocoa with the wrong packet. Is all
when? Who?
Brian can retell that one.
Somebody else we know, not me, was working at a funeral home, and some cremains got left behind, and they didn't know what to do with them, so they put them over by the concession bar, and the powdered person got put right next to the powdered cocoa.
Did somebody drink that?
I don't know if somebody drank it, but it at least got dumped. So, yeah.
Kind of like the scene from Big Lebowski where they're shooting the guy out of the coffee can and gets a face full of ashes.
Yeah. No, like, I used to carry a dog with me all over the place. That was kind of creepy.
Only I laughed at that part, I think.
The what?
You used to carry a cremated dog with you all over the place, too.
I did.
It was like a little film canister.
Well, I had like this little, it was like a pendant. It was just this little tiny urn.
Oh, this was the whole
little
dog
feet on it. It was really cute.
This was a bulk film canister with a plastic decoration.
Yeah. I'm only turning 28 in a week or so. And by the time I get really old, which is a long time from now, right?
Yes,
right?
Long time from now.
Maybe I'll be senile like that. I was going to ask you, though, Agent Shelf Booty, is that and I'll understand completely if you don't want to answer this question because it is getting just a little bit personal, but still somewhat on along the subject of why we're here on the paranormal radio thingy anyway. But has doing your job changed your view on religion or what you might believe to be true of God?
Life after death.
Life after death.
Yes. But I've always kind of been the alternative thinker. Mm-hmm. Basically, I got into this job. I lost a son about 7 years ago.
Ooh, sorry to hear
he
that.
Passed away in my arms. Mm-hmm. And again, no paranormal activity, unfortunately, to my dismay.
Yeah.
And I started wondering, you know, how a body goes from being alive to not so much.
Yep.
And started pursuing a different line of business. I was in taxes and accounting. I worked for H&R Block for 10 years before I started doing this.
And people think that what you do now is gross?
Yeah, I'd rather do that.
Yeah, you know, taxes and death are two things in life that are for certain.
Right.
Job security. I'm done. But as far as religion goes, I've everybody has their thoughts and their processes their rituals for death. And some of them seem quite silly to me after what I've been doing for so long. I'm like, oh, come on, he's dead. He's not coming back.
Right,
Foot down. We've had people come to the office and say, I'm going to pray over him, and he's going to wake up. And I'm going, yeah, you have at it.
Wow.
10 minutes later, will you go check on him? I'm like, absolutely. He's still cold.
Huh.
Still not breathing. I don't know. Hmm. You know, as far as religion for me, I'm a free thinker.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure there's something out there afterwards. I'm not quite sure there isn't. I haven't seen proof one way or the other. So to each his own, I guess.
I guess one thing we know for sure is that whatever it is, it's got nothing to do with that hunk of body that's left laying on the table, right?
Right.
Or in the sink or in the garbage disposal you guys have there.
I don't say garbage disposal. That was the creepiest part of Children's Hospital was the industrial garbage disposal just underneath the autopsy table. We were voting on who got to clean it.
That was a huge garbage disposal. Well, I mean, Agent Dark Booty knows all about that. It is an interesting thing. You know, when you say you haven't seen any proof either way, the one thing that's kind of proof to me, not to the rest of the world, but proof to me, this is just the simple apparent fact that when you die, you don't have any access back here anymore. Just like we don't have any access over there.
You know,
when you die, you're gone away from here. And that's like someone from New York still being in New York and knocking on your door.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And, so we don't know what's over there, if there is an over there at all. But they're not here. And I find it amazing that people are so insistent on keeping that fairy tale alive.
Rick says,
well, it gives them hope.
No,
gives them something to hope for.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard for the human mind to think, okay, I'm done, I'm dead, the end. When, you know, I really can't remember life before I was born. I'm not quite sure I'm going to remember it after I check out either. So,
right.
Sometimes would you want to? You'd be like, oh, my
God. We definitely want to. All of us want to.
No, I mean, like, to remember, like, if I'm gone after this life and I look back, well, maybe there's just certain parts I don't want to remember, like the time I laughed really hard and snot flew out of my nose right in front of everybody. I don't want to remember that.
Oh, it's just not for you. It's a pee for me. I don't like pee in my pants, really.
Oh, really?
Is that an often thing?
Every time she sees a dead body.
So tell us, can you tell us, when you first started doing this job, you know, like me, I'm thinking, okay, am I going to throw up? Am I going to pass out? Is it neither? Maybe it'll be both. Did you do either?
Oh, absolutely. The first few times you see someone not living anymore, it is a little creepy. It's a little scary. Your adrenaline gets pumping, and then all of a sudden you're like, nope, they're not moving. Kind of like dealing with a mannequin.
Just a squishy, sticky mannequin.
The person is no longer there. You're dealing with a live anatomical, not live, <didn't unduck>.
Yeah.
An anatomical placing, basically. Well, wow, their heart is in the exact same spot as the other guy's heart, or, you know, his eyes, the same exact thing as this guy's eyes. You know, it becomes kind of routine, unfortunately, I think, for the shock factor. Nothing can shock me anymore. I've picked people up off the street with shovels, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Bits and pieces. We call those kibbles and bits. you know, there's a lot of technical terms I like to throw around, like DRT. Everyone's heard DOA.
Yeah.
DRT is dead right there.
Yep.
Dead. You don't walk in, he's DRT. Wow, fascinating. But, yeah, it's kind of creepy at first. I scared myself a couple of times. We're supposed to zip them up a certain way where when we unzip the bag, we get feet.
Oh, the bag.
You know, and I took someone in once to do an x-ray, and I unzipped the bag, and his head was there instead of his feet, and eyes were open and looking at me and made me jump.
Yeah.
And then I felt really silly. I'm looking around like, wow, I'm not supposed to be scared of this. Did anybody see that?
Well, here's an interesting point, though, that you just sort of, you know, brought up, or you made me think of. Speaking of myths that people like to perpetrate, one of those funny myths is the magic fingers. In every TV show and movie, when somebody dies...
Oh, that's not the myth I thought you were going at. I'm going there next.
You're
going
to go there next,
finished.
Yeah. Okay. Every time somebody dies in TV or movies, someone will put their hand over the person's eyes and they magically close.
Yeah, right.
So how hard is it to close somebody's eyes?
Well, it depends on how long they've been dead. There's a thing called hypostasis, and all the fluids in your body gravitate towards gravity that you know, pulls it down. So if your eyes are really dried out, you're not going to close those eyelids very easily, and funeral homes use a tool called eye caps that have little pokes on the other side of the eyelid caps that hold them in place. Us, we don't have that luxury, so we get open eyes.
Nice.
And I think, Rhonda, you're going over there with the penis factor.
Yeah,
there.
Of course.
And no, not so much.
I can honestly tell you, you
do not get an erection when you die. Same thing happens.
And because...
Well, what if they were face down?
Quite possible. I haven't seen that yet either, but, you know, pretty much doesn't happen.
Then you might be high-fiving somebody.
Now, if you want the myth... And I don't know if she's ever noticed this before, but if you ever watch any TV shows with the coroner's office, they are always, that with the minute they walk in, at least one person, and it's usually the head guy,
is eating a sandwich.
It's like a requirement. I've never figured it out, but just watch any movie, any TV show, they walk into the coroner's office, and somebody's eating a sandwich.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do. I like to eat apples personally right over the body. No, what's really funny about that is we're usually covered head to toe in personal protective equipment. You know, we've got gloves, masks, whatever. And we try to protect ourselves from whatever this person died of because you don't know. So we're going in there with blind knowledge. We don't know what they've got. So I really don't want to catch it either.
Especially if
and that can be
bullet.
Somewhat insensitive to families when you're walking in and you got, you know,
hazmat,
full biohazard gear on, but you gotta kind of explain that to me. I'm not sure what happened here, so.
You can be like, you lived with him, you know, he might have anything.
Right, you don't know.
You know what he did on the weekends? Don't look at me like that.
now, did when you have to sew them back up after like an autopsy or something, or I don't know if you are involved in any of that, are there ever tools that get accidentally sewn up in the body?
Who cares?
You know, quite possibly, but we do some on purpose, really. We take everything out of the chest cavity and put it in a bag and put it back in and sew it back up. So tools don't usually get left behind, but we leave them everything in a plastic bag, nice and neat, so that the mortician can come through and mm-hmm. embalm things quite nicely.
Except you don't cook a turkey quite as long as you do a person.
Right.
Yeah, they do require a higher temperature. Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. That's definitely interesting.
So when you, what you do, you perform the autopsies then?
I can assist on them occasionally, and I've done quite a few, but we do have a doctor that does that, and he just usually has one of us help. We'll do the cutting, we'll do the sewing, we'll do the bone saw to get the head open. We will also weigh and measure certain body parts for him as he's dictating, you know, what he's finding. So.
And so when you say that you determine the cause of death in the whole thing, what is the difference between that and an autopsy then?
He's part of a function of our office. So without our background, findings at the scene, our interviews with the family, combined with what we find in an autopsy, that's how we come up with the cause and manner.
So it's just a different type of forensics then?
Right. You know, some people need an autopsy, some people not so much.
Okay, so what is the most disgusting thing that you have seen?
Decomposing bodies are the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, I think, quite possibly.
Liquefaction,
yeah, pretty gross.
Right on.
Oh, you know, I got to ask you, so what do you think about the claims of cattle mutilation being done by aliens with what you know about decomposition?
You know, if there's no fluid in the body, it's really hard to decompose. And, you know, people will decompose at different rates in different scenarios. If you're in the desert, you're going to get all that moisture sucked out of you, and the decomposition rate's going to slow way down. Yet if you have somebody floating in a river, it's going to speed it up really quickly. So cattle being mutilated by aliens, I don't know. Something I can't really speak to because I haven't ever seen that before. I've seen pictures of that and the really clean incisions that they talk about.
Give
and
her
it's
an education.
Very fascinating, but I don't know. I like to believe in aliens too. I can't imagine that we're the only planet out there with any kind of intelligent life, but I also find it hard to believe that they can come here without any of us really seeing them.
And are we that unintelligent?
Yeah, to cut out a cow's butthole. That's really
that's
the first
thing.
That's
a pretty big
butthole. Well, it was the first
thing I would do.
You know,
that's tasty. I mean, that's the most tasty part of the cow. I don't know what your problem is. That's great. I love that part. My favorite. Goes in hot dogs. Come on.
I know. So the thing is that it's probably not aliens. It's probably just people who are as broke as I am trying to feed the family, right? They were like, we're making
You have no idea what I used to do as a child, so yeah.
No, actually, what we were getting at is everything that we've seen with the cattle mutilations has mm-hmm. looked exactly like how a body would decompose and be eaten by animals and insects and things like that if it's left out in the elements, you know, at particular times of the year. All these cattle mutilations seem to happen right around the same time. They all are found after a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. and all of the soft tissue is what's gone. So you've got animals eating away at that. You've got insects eating away at that. So, and you've got the certain, you know, the bloating and this and that kind of stuff that makes these incision-like cracks in the skin. Everything seems to be 100% natural. And I just wasn't sure if you ever had to come across human bodies that have not been recovered right away.
Oh, yeah. We come across that quite a bit. And like I said, you can usually tell exactly what has been chewing on someone, be it bugs, be it rats, be it coyotes. We have a lot of coyotes in this area that like to carry off legs and arms and things like that.
That'd be a sight.
But yeah, it's pretty disturbing. I seem to find everybody that's out in the field. That's my little forte. All of us little investigators seem to have, you know, some people have suicide, some people have car accidents. I find everybody that's been in a field for 3 months for some reason.
Tasty.
And
jerky.
Yeah. That's the first thing that animals go for is the soft tissue. You know, they take the belly first. They go for the eyes. They go for anything they can easily chew at. So Yeah, I don't know.
And so with that,
sometimes
that makes...
it's a clean incision, sometimes not really, but right. It's all different. So.
And does that make that even that much more difficult to determine the cause of death when you be like, well...
It does. Because... The less flesh you have, the less, you know, obvious signs of trauma or disease, you know, so... Because... But a lot of these are really... For instance, I have to be kind of vague, but, you know, I have a woman wander out in a field with a gallon of water and 400 prescription pills. Gee, I don't know what she did. Hmm. Committed suicide with all these pills.
Right.
But can't really prove that if her stomach's gone. But right. You can kind of find things in the tissues that would lead you to believe, okay, there's a high concentration of this chemical and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Or a lot of stoned coyotes. Right.
Right. But it goes back to scene investigation. What did her family say when she went missing? You know, this kind of thing. But things are usually pretty obvious as far as cause and manner of death. Rarely do we come across something that we're like, I don't know what happened here. Maybe 1 out of 1,000 do we go, gee, this is just really weird. I don't know what happened.
So is CSI your favorite show ever?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it makes me want to gag.
I'm shocked.
They do everything in the light with, you know, it's dimmed lights and they're full makeup and again, someone's eating sandwich in the corner,
right.
Kicking the body with a stick. Great. Good time.
And everything falls into place so easily, doesn't it?
They're within half an hour. And that's probably my common question when I get on scene is, oh, are you guys like CSI? Do you need my DNA or something to figure out? I'm like, no, he died in your house. It's your husband. How, you really want me to go through DNA to tell me it's your husband? Seriously.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, well, it just seems like the most elaborate murder scenes. They're just like, oh, well, like, that was this and this and that and everything else. And,
yeah,
and you know, I'm like, no, dude, I watch the Forensics Files on Discovery, so I know
bad. Everything.
No, I'm telling you, they're smart.
Horrible.
Well, that's how I got my job. I watched a lot of Forensics Files. No, I'm kidding.
No, you put that on your resume.
At the end.
Autopsy Report. That was my favorite show.
Right.
I'm pre-qualified already for the job.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're gonna let you go, and
okay.
We thank you so much for coming on the show. It's
no
absolutely
problem.
Awesome, but we're gonna let you go. I got another call coming in for some
reason.
It's
restricted.
So.
Don't answer it.
Yeah,
it's a bill collector.
So thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
We missed it, whatever it was.
Oh, they could have been on the air.
Yeah, well, that's I'm tired of these restricted ID numbers always coming up. So, but no, she was cool as hell.
Very cool.
I enjoyed it. That was
very
a fun,
cool person.
Fun
and
interview.
The thing that I think is interesting is she didn't flinch when we said baby's arms. And
yeah.
She's like, yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, especially after she just told you her son died in her arms.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wasn't even going to bring up Brian's mom.
But so. She's dead. It's okay.
Yeah.
She doesn't
I
mind.
Doubt she worked on her. We know what she died of.
Your mom?
What did she die of?
Oh,
yeah, you know, huh?
Pancreatic cancer.
There it is. That's not a fun way to go.
No, I'd prefer a bullet right here.
Brain cancer, I heard, is even worse than
anything. Yeah, brain cancer
anything.
Is very vicious. Now, it's an interesting point, or an interesting thing, is that...
we've just had a vote that this is the most disturbing show we've done.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here for it.
Hold on to your head, it can only get worse.
How we know... I'm pretty sure... Would you shut that phone up? It's... how we know Agent Dark Booty is that she's a friend of mine.
You know, the way...
We met on Match.com, she and I.
The way you took over the interview...
Did
I?
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I would just say that yeah, they probably figured it out.
This is like a family show, you know. We just all show
I'm sorry.
Up whoever's there.
I just had to find out as much
collector.
As I could about blood and guts.
Nothing wrong with blood and guts. But only when prepared properly.
I agree. Completely. Don't leave the refrigerator open.
That's true. That happened at my last apartment. When we were getting booted out, we left the apartment for 3 days, and apparently they shut off the power, and we had an entire refrigerator full of deer and elk. I couldn't clean that refrigerator. I mean, not because it smelled bad, but I couldn't get the smell out of the refrigerator. It was bad.
Huh. You think nice. They probably had to replace that? So why did they boot you out?
Uh, because we were leaving, but we were leaving kind of violently.
Not great terms.
Yeah. They wanted us. We'd been there for like 5 years, and they were like, "Stay, stay," and we were like, "No, we hate you. We're gone."
So, what? So one thing that I wanted to kind of touch on with this whole coroner idea and this whole, you know, children's hospital morgue thing. With our beliefs, where they are with death and ghosts and stuff like that, how important is it to have respect for the dead body? How important is that?
I think it's more important to...
I've never understood that unless it's the relatives that you're trying to deal with.
That's what I was thinking, is that I think it's
more... messing with memories.
It's more important to respect the families who are respecting the body.
I used to run into that when I was doing a lot of...
So you don't give them a videotape of... You rolling them over and them farting and you high five.
Exactly. See, that was the rough part when I was doing the news photography thing. You get into some place where some guy was on the street dying, you know, brains all over the street. Unfortunately, his wife or girlfriend or daughter or somebody's there. And I'm there trying to, you know, take pictures for the newspaper. Mm. And meanwhile, I've got this just screaming relative tearing at me that doesn't want it to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, sorry. It's going to be on the news tomorrow. Just watch.
Well, yeah. You know, the thing is that we can't, just like in movies when after 9/11, when they decided movies that they had already shot and they take out the Twin Towers, are we really going to pretend it doesn't happen?
No.
Is that really going to make anything any fucking better?
No.
You know? And so...
Yeah, when they did that on Spider-Man, it really...
Yeah, that killed me.
Disappointed.
Because
like
that was the best
like it was never there.
Preview.
Yeah, that was a great preview.
Where the helicopter got
stuck
in the web.
Yep.
I've still got that on my computer.
It's not going to bring anybody back. It's not going to fix anything. It's not going to kill Bin Laden. You know what I'm saying? It's real. It was there. It happened. Deal with it, you know?
Yeah, I'm almost surprised that Hollywood didn't go back through their catalog of movies to remove the Twin Towers digitally from every movie they were ever in.
Yeah.
That would have destroyed Moonstruck.
Mm. One of the best movies in the entire world.
Ever made.
Now you want to know the trick to that? My father's girlfriend's ex was the producer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love that movie. I love that movie.
High five her if she ever comes through the corner.
Oh, I lost my hand. I'm sorry. That was just a good movie. I wish I was holding that hand at that moment.
You know what, though, getting back to the respect for the dead and what, you know, and we're talking about what happens in after this life and the whole thing. I mean, you know, yeah, we want to believe. And I think that a lot of people, and I say we because I don't know if anybody in the chat room realizes this, that back when, before Matt Baxter was my husband, that we actually...
Trademarked by Nitor.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yes. I love that term.
Nitor is a...
she coined that term anyway. That's where I heard it from anyway. But that Matt and I were involved with... well, we were involved loosely with a couple of different other paranormal groups, and then God brought us. Yeah, I know. God brought us to Brian, and
God did.
Yeah, it was God, and so we then became involved with Rocky Mountain Paranormal, and it was all my big idea, wasn't it?
It was all your big idea.
It was totally my idea because I was having a bad day at work, and Matt said, "What would you be doing if you didn't have any, or you didn't have to worry about money?" I was like, "I'd be Scooby Doo, and I would be a ghost hunter." And so we decided to get involved with the. No, that's what I said. I want to be Scooby, and so. We decided to get involved in paranormal investigation, but it took a very short amount of time for us to become very frustrated and very disillusioned with the whole thing and a lot of the idiots and spazzes and freakouts that are out there and the people who are just go completely...
So what you're saying is the Chris Moons of the world.
The Chris Moons. Okay. And there's several other names that I would love to mention. Should I mention?
You can mention whatever.
I don't want to mention any names. It starts with a pen and ends with a dragon. But... what is that other one? Trini something?
Yeah, Trini something. It was,
there's
Drea,
Trini. You'll never
Drea
guess who it
dragon.
Is because there's so many people out there named Trini. But, so...
Oh, she's gone before the field got really popular anyway, so...
Yeah, because you know why is because the field started to outsmart her.
Yeah.
But, so... Oh, that is pretty cool.
Isn't that disgusting?
Yeah,
I like it.
it's a pressed fairy.
It's a book of pressed fairies.
So anyway, that's why I keep saying we when I keep including myself in Rocky Mountain is because that when I started school and threw Matt out of my house that that I just didn't have time. And then there was also one other person I shouldn't mention. the name that sort of got to be a big thorn in my ass crack. But anyway.
What the hell, Lou?
It was Lou. Lou got psycho.
She hasn't logged in a month, and she's going to now.
Well, go ahead.
that's what it took.
That's right fine. There. I can't. She got such a hate on for me, and Matt couldn't even come watch me belly dance or anything, and I just crazy. Did she ever put that rabbit to boil on your stove? anyway, so that's why I'm sorry. I made a short story very long, didn't I? I tend to do that. But
I don't know what the hell you're talking about anymore.
Why I keep saying we when I talk about we is in Rocky Mountain Paranormal. So
she used to be in Rocky Mountain Paranormal. There, at the end.
That was no fun. Everybody likes me better than you, and that's exactly why. But
whatever.
Anyway, but yeah, we tend to want to.
Wait a minute. We got another ID restricted. You like my ringtone, everybody?
Are they going to be on?
Hello.
Baxter.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Mark Edward.
Ah!
Oh, is that your next guest that I keep talking too much?
No.
How are you?
No, this is Mark Edward. I'm doing great. Now, I doubt that there's too few people in the chat room that don't know who you are.
Okay.
But could you give us a little bit of who you are and what you do?
Well, where shall I begin? I guess I'll begin as being a... started out as a magician. Wasn't happy with that. Became a mentalist. Wasn't happy with that. Became a, quote, professional psychic, unquote. Wasn't happy with that.
I like him already.
But I did that for a long time. And I, at the same time I was doing that, I was friends with Michael Shermer and on the editorial board of Skeptic Magazine. So for about 9 or 10 years, I was walking with one foot in one party or club and one in the other, and not really convinced of either. I mean, I was more of a skeptic than anything else, but I still was fascinated with all the scams, and not because I was particularly a believer in psychic things. I think I've always wanted to believe, but I was just drawn into the cons and the showbiz way that psychics were working
right
during that era. So now I'm just did a TV pilot called The Skeptologist, which we are working really hard to try and get on the air. It's like a very uphill battle because science is, as you know, not as good as ghost hunters, but, you know,
right.
I think it is. And it's gaining some momentum. So that's been happening, and we've been working on we have a blog and a website, and we're just trying to get this thing sold and at least get a couple, one or two seasons of some critical thinking. And I'm the one who's been tasked with the, it's kind of like the League of Extraordinary Skeptics. I don't know how else to describe it.
No, I think that's a perfect description.
Yeah, if you don't know about it, it's a group of one woman and six men.
Sounds like a porn I've seen.
It's what?
Nothing.
Just keep going.
I think the first thing I think should be more women on the deal, but what, I'm not the producer, so what can I say? But it's kind of a cross between, it's a reality show, it's kind of a cross between The X-Files and Charlie's Angels, kind of a concept. I don't know if that makes any sense, but we have one guy who sends us out like Charlie used to do, and we go out and we look at stuff, and we've kind of sworn that we're not going to be a debunking show. We don't want to do that. We want to make it fair, and at the end of the show, people get to decide for themselves. We're not going to try and have this big agenda of, trying to be too over the top about debunking or putting people down or anything like that. So I'm really up for it, and I'm really looking forward to it because it's really what I've wanted to do all along, but it's taken all these years to get to this point. So that's where I'm at.
Well, that's very cool. Now, have there been any recent bites on the possibility of the show getting taken?
Yeah, there have been. We started at the top with the major networks. And from what I understand, although I don't know if the producer would want me to say, it's at CBS.
Ooh.
And it's at the Discovery Channel.
They need a decent show.
Yeah,
it started out being it was going to be at Fox Television, and I think there's still something going on there, but
it's
all over the place. What they did is, instead of trying to shop it around themselves, they actually hired a marketing company to do it.
Ah.
So, because, you know, we do what we do, and we wanted to have somebody who knows what they do to really push the whole thing and make it right, because we don't want to, none of us want to do something that's done half done.
Well, you know, to be honest, if you guys were to have your headquarters, your base, in a strip club, Spike would show it in a second.
Yeah, exactly. Or if we were like, maybe we were on a boat catching fish, or I don't know, ice trucking, or
one segment
cutting down logging trees or something, and we wore caterpillar hats and
had
gun racks in our car, we'd probably be on right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I was
no
thinking
offense
that
to the caterpillar people out there.
right.
Part of the skeptical, like if their headquarters were in the strip club, that like one of the subplots of the show would be, I don't know, I'm pretty skeptical. Are those real or fake? And you know, and at the end, you could just reveal.
Yeah, are those titties real?
I think it should be in a bunker with a strip club.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's very cool. I mean, it's an honor to have you call in.
Thank you.
It's very cool. Now, I'm wondering if the reason for your call isn't a little bit of the controversy that seems to be going on with you and us and Chris Moon and his fabulous Telephone to the Dead.
Well, I'll take on anything at this point. I mean, I'm not being particular, but that seems to be the kind of the flavor of the month psychic thing right now. We don't really have any big targets that are, I mean, so completely outrageous that they could be on the radar quite as big as he is. But yeah, I mean, I've had a long interest in this whole talking to the dead with a machine thing. I started it way back in the late 70s. And off and on, I've researched it, and I wrote a treatment for a movie based on the idea, and I have not all the information on it, that you know, as far as dramatic premises go, and as far as the history of the con, you know, and the idea behind it, as far as the technical aspects, I just don't see how it's possible.
Right.
Was there a pun in that?
I know, that's what I was thinking too.
Frankly. Frank-sumptionally, I don't know how it's possible.
I'm certainly willing to look at the evidence when I see it. And I've challenged him. I told Chris Moon, come on, let's go for the $1 million. I'll help you. You know, I will help you. I will be the one to take the heat. I'll help you get the money. And then if you have some altruistic reason why you don't want to take that dirty green paper.
Oh, not him.
Then we'll find a charity to put it through, or better yet, we'll take the money for further research.
Well, he would rather take the money from someone grieving, is the problem.
Well, that's like all the other mediums. They say, oh, no, my work is to help people one-on-one, and I don't want to help the whole world. I want to help just myself.
Oh, well, see,
basically,
that's a bunch of bullshit, or he wouldn't be on TV all the time, sucking it up. You know what I mean? Sucking up all the attention and trying to get his...
But yeah, but that's just scratching the surface of the issue. He represents a symptom of a much deeper issue. He's just, you know, he'll be gone, and you know, maybe he won't be gone, but he'll be... You know, he'll make his millions and move on, just like Sylvia Brown has.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is deeper. It's not about the machine or using cold reading or whatever he says he's doing. The issue is that he's got a sick society that doesn't think.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There was only so much blaming of Chris we can do.
Well,
it's just so outrageous to me that people could say, oh, yes, there's a machine that talks to dead people. And especially when I think he says he's only one of the 30 people that can do it.
Yes.
Isn't that magic?
Well, according to Thomas Edison.
Right.
Which is even more magic. It just seems to me like I'm really hoping that your program gets on there, because I haven't had TV in a long time, and so I don't really know what's out there, but it seems like it still is as it was, that that all the channels are flooded with all of these programs where people are just so completely irrational and, you know, I'm going with every little, oh my gosh, and there's a ghost and here's a ghost. Nobody's thinking. And so there seems to be no counterbalance out there. And I'm wondering if it's because it would get, they're afraid that the ratings wouldn't be so great.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think I can safely say what the producer of the show, Ryan Johnson, has told us, is that we have these megalopolis networks, and the problem is that no one wants to stick their neck out because, if you know, they don't want to take a chance on anything. They sit in a boardroom and they play it safe because they want to keep their jobs and their cars and their homes and their trophy wives and all that. And if they stick their neck out and it doesn't go and it's a failure, then they get out, you know, they're gone. And nobody, and it's very difficult because it is a kind of a right turn in programming. But my whole thing is, how many billions of dollars do TV networks make? Can't they just cut off a slice of that, you know, and for an experiment?
Right.
Now, what's wrong with them? They're myopic. They have tunnel vision. You know, it's like, well, America's top model is going to be coming up. We can't waste time on thinking, you know.
Right. Or maybe they should do your show. Maybe they wouldn't be so afraid if they did your show in the style of a CSI or something like that.
Or Reno 911.
Yeah.
I would watch.
We plan to use a lot of humor. I mean, that's kind of our leavening agent that we're going to inject into it, because otherwise it would be just dry science and it wouldn't be any fun. And I think Phil Plait is really good at that. He's like, well, science is fun. It's not a drag. What's the matter with people, you know?
Yeah, he does have fun when he does science.
Yeah, so that's the direction we want to take, and I think it's great. And I mean, really, honestly, for me, I was brought up in, you know, with television. I think it started with Twilight Zone and Outer Limits and, you know, on and on and on throughout that whole thing. So I've always loved unreality on TV. But now I think I don't even watch TV anymore because it's so overloaded that there's no alternative.
Right. You know, I don't know if you were aware that we're actually filming a TV show right now.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it's
called Case Files of the Paranormal, and it's a little bit of a Mythbusters approach to paranormal research, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I was just going to say, if your cute little show just doesn't get on, feel free to come out, and we'll have you get on our show.
Well, no, you have my number. You call me. I'm available. I have no contract at this point.
Well, Sam, we got
that's the nice thing. Neither do we.
We got Phil Plait right next door here. So, you know, we ought to see if we could get a couple of you guys to come on, and because what it's supposed to be is we're supposed to be the paranormal investigation team. And
but you're going to ruin the whole plot.
Well, yeah, really destroy it.
Oh, you just gave away the whole movie.
I wouldn't say it over anything because someone will steal it right out from under you.
It would be great if somebody stole it, you know, just because you can't, if someone would succeed with it, then every network would want something like it. So.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, the way I foresee it, if I live that long, you know, is that eventually there'll be like, the reality channel, but I mean, maybe that's the wrong choice of words, but like a channel that is about science and about, you know, theology and the things that we don't understand, but done in a way that is entertaining instead of, I mean, we got the History Channel, and we got the Food Channel, and we got the Wine Channel, you know,
right.
It's like, what is wrong with this?
Yeah, but it'd be great for Discovery Science or
well,
something.
The problem is all of them are the really stupid paranormal show at this point.
Yeah.
All of them have bad paranormal programming. The History Channel, Discovery Channel, you name it, they're all...
You know what I heard? I heard just the other night I was at a really good meeting of the Monterey skeptics are getting together with Santa Cruz skeptics and trying to form their own little common front. It's very small right now, but they were saying they're planning this paranormal ghost hunter thing for kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
What's it called?
Yeah, we were just looking at that.
Well, we were talking about labor. It at Skepticam.
Child labor. it's called...
it's on the Cartoon Network.
Yeah, it's on the Cartoon Network, which is just brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Can you believe that?
So what is it? Is it like a it's not, it's a ghost hunting show for kids.
Isn't the one you were showing me the other night?
No, I don't think so.
But I mean, don't we have enough problems already without having that?
Well, at least they're off the streets.
Yeah.
For what?
Keeping least, the kids off the streets.
At least the kids are off the streets.
The other so, yeah, siders. That,
and then I got an email from somebody whose name I won't mention today, which was about there, and it's really an interesting angle. I have to hand it to them. I mean, it's just, you know, the ideas that are out there. Their show is about the dangers of paranormal investigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might
in other words,
something.
We have to warn people because they're getting into stuff that could potentially, you know,
oh, for shit's sake.
Yeah, ruin their whole life. And, you know, and mm-hmm. that's their angle is it's like a cautionary show. But that to me is like even deeper woo. I mean, that's like going, that's taking it to a whole other level of like.
There's a lot of that on Paranormal State. They have that real big cautionary thing.
Well, like, don't drag the demon home with you.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah, exactly, don't exactly. It's like many people are experiencing, you know, the problem of bringing something that they don't understand home with them.
I've like, done that every weekend since I was 18 years old.
Well, and that's I ended up in divorce because. So, yeah.
I said, "Ooh,
I can
you take
relate.
That to the doctor." I don't know what that is.
I don't know what you're bringing home.
I mean, I suppose there's nothing wrong with that, but they need to have at least a skeptic on there too. If they're gonna, if it's gonna be about warning people, they should have somebody at least with that point of view of like, you know what? This is all bullshit. What's wrong with you?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Really. Absolutely. Now, let me tell you the concept of our show and the concept that I have of how we could bring you guys in.
Okay.
Now, what we've got is we are the paranormal investigation team.
Big quotey fingers.
So yeah, in quotey fingers, we are the paranormal investigation team. And then basically we go up against, for lack of a better term, a group of skeptics. And we both go out and we investigate the same scene or the same area, and then we come back and compare notes. And the thing is, in reality, we are more skeptical than the team of skeptics that were chosen.
Oh, I see. Well, there's yet another angle, you see.
Yeah, but I think it would be interesting to have all you guys come on to coach our team of skeptics into what a real skeptic is.
How to be a skeptic.
Yeah. I think that would be a brilliant show, and we got another ID restricted coming in. I don't know. So that's just my thought on it. I think that would be a very fun show because one of them in particular is such a huge fan of all of you guys that she would probably have a heart attack on the spot if you guys came walking in. So I think that'd be a lot of fun.
That sounds interesting. Well, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
We just probably wouldn't be able to get Phil Plate to do it.
Yeah, that's true. If
not
we're
necessarily.
There, he's not
I mean,
show
he does have a full. Phil has a full plate.
Full plate.
He does.
Oh. Yeah, he really does.
Full plate.
Sorry,
that's what we'll call him from now on. Full plate.
He's very busy, and you know he's handling it as far as I know. And I'll be glad to see him at TAM 7. I'm going to be at TAM 7. And hopefully, I mean, I hope we have some good news by then. But you know, it's crazy.
You wouldn't believe how much we hope you get that show. We did a talk at the Denver Skeptic Camp this year where we basically implored everyone in the crowd to write to whoever they could to beg for the show to get on the air.
Yeah.
So,
well, I can make some suggestions. I mean, I don't know if they really work, but, you know, it's like I've been pestering Anderson Cooper. I kind of stopped for a while. I was trying to get this whole Chris Brown thing on Anderson Cooper.
Right.
So, and a lot of people, I think they say, yeah, well, my letter, my email won't go anywhere. But, you know, with the internet, it's different than writing a letter like 30 years ago. Like, I'm going to write a letter to ABC, and it just ends up in the trash somewhere.
Right, right.
But, yeah, if you do emails and you make phone calls or you know that whole thing, maybe another silly superstition with that. What do they call that? You know somebody, know someone else.
Right.
7 degrees of separation.
6 degrees of separation, yes.
No.
So those things, you know, any little bit helps because it only takes one person with vision to make this work.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. You were going to say something, Brian?
Well, I'm watching this a preview for this bad Cartoon Network thing, The Othersiders, and they have their tech expert on. You should see this guy. He's about, what, 10?
Yeah, he looks like, well, he's about 12.
And he's got more equipment than we do, I'll tell you that. There's a ton of stuff. I'd just like to stop them and go, so have you been trained to use any of this stuff?
Right.
For what it's intended to be
used. To be used for, yeah.
But they're going for a whole fantasy angle, though. They're not serious about this.
Yeah, but that's the problem, is they present it as fact.
It's like the Little Rascals going into the haunted house or something.
Well, yeah, but then you never believed that the Little Rascals were real kids going into a real haunted house. That's the crime here.
And then
all these are being presented as real.
Well, then what you have happen is somebody like Chris Moon goes, oh, I can do that too.
Yeah.
And there's a new thing coming out right now that we're starting to see groups that we're referring to as TV trained, because the only thing that they do is emulate what they're seeing on television and just dragging this farther and further into the dirt.
Right. No, I think that's been around a long time. I mean, you know, I mean, I was thinking about it the other day. I was watching some old 60s television show. Well, you know, you look at something, I don't know if you guys remember, it's maybe way before your time, but just to shift the paradigm here, there was a show on when I was growing up called The Invaders.
Yep.
Which was about this one lone guy who sees a flying saucer land, and he knows that there's an invasion going on. And
yeah.
The whole series is based on him trying to convince everybody else that it's happening, and every time he gets quashed, you know, every time.
Yep.
And he's basically a skeptic, because and everybody else thinks that he's just a loony UFO. But my point is, you look at the generation that grew up with that TV show, so there's really no surprise that 30 or 40 years later we have all this UFO abduction stuff, because it was in the media. It was like on every week, you know, twice a week sometimes, hour-long show in full color, you know, very tense, very, very powerful drama. They were very well done. So is there any surprise that people think that there's aliens? You know, it seeps into the mass culture, I guess what I'm saying.
Right. Well,
so that's the problem, is it's not only the whole ghost thing is not only seeped into the culture, but it's leaving a big footprint.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, this begs the question, though, is, you know, for the little bit of background here, you've got people like Sylvia Brown and Uri Geller that James Randi has exposed so horribly over and over, and yet they keep going and they keep going. So obviously they're not the problem. Just like we talked about earlier, the problem are the people that want to keep believing. And so the big question is how do we get in an area where we can really start educating these people? What do we do? I mean, Brian and I, we go
around.
You
never will.
We try to give lectures and get out as much as possible, and we try not to expose what our lecture is going to be about, other than the paranormal, before you know we launch it on the crowd on exactly what we're all about. But I mean, really, where do we go from here?
You kind of do a reversal. In other words, you say it's paranormal, then people show up and you go, you give the skeptical point of view. Is that what you're saying?
That's
the
one.
Yeah. And, you know, and we make it a very entertaining lecture. I mean, we try to incorporate magic and cold reading and all kinds of humor and everything. And people love the lectures, but, you know, we need to figure out a way to do this on a bigger scale. And it sounds like the skeptologist was certainly maybe a step in that direction.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've thought a lot about, because this thing's been sitting on the table for, I don't know, 8 or 9 months now. And in the interim, we started Skeptic Blog, which has been very interesting. And my whole theory was, you know, maybe we will not get the Skeptologist TV show on the air, but something is going to come out of it.
Right.
You know, it's like the process is almost more important than the finished product, that kind of idea.
Right.
Because just on that blog alone, there's been so many great ideas and such great input, and you know, it's there's a base there, and that's got me under this whole idea of guerrilla skepticism and ambush skepticism. In other words, becoming more militant, becoming more in your face, you know, going to psychic fairs and handing out fortune cookies or bringing your magic eight ball and getting a table. And
nice.
You know, stuff like that is because I my degree's in art, actually, and I went to CalArts where Tim Burton went and, you know, Henry Selick and some pretty, I had some pretty creative friends who, you know, the idea was to be subversive, you know, and use a lot of humor, because if you challenge somebody's belief system, mm-hmm. they just turn you off.
Yeah.
But if you do something that's childlike and goofy and but you still put your message across, then they kind of laugh at it and go away, and maybe they think about it. That's the only thing you can hope, is that maybe they will think about it.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is, I was talking to some people about it the other night. It's like, every town has their psychic fairs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, when I had to try and break into that, you had to do a couple test readings for the madame of the fair or whatever, you know, and then if she liked you, she'd grant you the table, and you'd sit down and you'd make money for her. But nowadays, you could probably go to a lot of places and just get a table. I mean, if you wore the right getup and you had the right look and the right buzzwords, like what you guys are doing, and then you sit down and you bring your magic eight ball out. But what we were joking about the other night is, we're saying, you know, with the climate, there's so much belief out there that if you brought the magic eight ball out, people would say, it's really amazing how you're able to use your powers to affect the magic eight ball.
That's true. That's
you know
true.
What I mean? So it's a very difficult thing to crack. But I think with humor and the right, if you're friendly, if you're not strident, and you don't try to confront people, you just make it like, well, this is how I do it, and it works just as good as the way you're doing it, you know? then people may start to wonder, well, why is this guy over there charging $750?
Yeah.
When you're just as good. Because my theory is, and I've written, and it's a lot in a lot of my books I write about, the bottom line is people just want someone to talk to who will listen to them.
Oh, now that's a good point.
They want a lot of validation of their fears of...
Not even validation. They just want someone to talk to.
I think you're right.
Because in our society, it is unacceptable for me to... If I just go to a restaurant or a bar or something, and I just go up to somebody and start really just being intuitive and empathic with them, and those are not woo words. I mean, those are like, if I just start saying, you know, you look like, you know, like I look at their shoes or I look at their jewelry or their fingernails, and I say, you know, you look like you need some attention. You look like you need some affection. And if you start talking to somebody like that, they'll go, get away from me. You know, you're a lunatic. But if I have a sign up that says, you know, psychic intuitive counselor, people will line up for it.
Right.
Because now I have a path. I have this magic word that makes it passable for me to be able to tell them the deepest, darkest things, you know. And that's really all being a psychic is to me, is you tell people exactly what you feel without any regard for whether they might want to hear it or not, within reason. I mean, you don't tell them... The thing that gets me as psychics to say, you know, you're going to be sick, your mother's going to die, all that stuff. You don't work long if you do that.
So but don't do what people, Chris Moon does, in other words.
Well, that's what I mean, but he won't be around that long. If that's what he does, he'll make his pile of money, and he'll have his whatever success, whatever his measure of success might be, which is questionable. But in the long run, the people that really stay with it, you know, after a while they become marriage and family counselors, or they become therapists, you know.
Right.
They take away the tie-dye, and they become a real person, because they realize that they don't need to make it supernatural. They just need to be natural.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's interesting when you think about how communication is so much easier in this day and age, but there's no intimacy to it.
Right, exactly.
You know, so I think that, you know, having someone that will actually sit and
and talk with you about, you know, personal things and stuff like this. I think you're absolutely right that that's where the real problem
me,
is.
That a person for, is appointed
to sit
for
me, the most wonderful thing, and you know, skeptics may not like it, but for me, one of the most wonderful skills that I have is to be able to get intimate with somebody by reading the lines of their palm. You know, you're sitting right across from somebody. You've got a candlelight. You've got a little velvet pillow. Mm. You've got all this atmosphere going.
Sounds
and you're
good
there,
to me.
And you're like cradling this person's hand in your hand, and you're
Mark,
telling them.
I'm there.
Mark,
you saw, I'm,
you, Mark,
I'm,
are you
I'm sold.
Me? You flirt with
That's
me right
what
now?
I mean. Yeah. How, if I went up and did that in Macy's or Penny's or something, they'd have me removed. They'd go, security, you know.
I would.
It's all the venue. So that's what's missing, and there is no intimacy. But now we have the internet. It's like you can get your free reading over the internet, you know. And of course, it's. But the problem is, there's just as much interest in that as probably the other. So it's you know, and I've been torn for years, you know, because I really like to do it, and I really feel, when I'm with people like that, I really do reach levels that I won't call them supernatural. They're natural, but they're how can I put it? There's no magic there. It's just
right.
Two people sharing their lives with each other.
Right, right. And, you know, I don't know. I'm really looking into cold reading quite a bit myself these days and everything. And it is amazing how naturally it comes to you to be able to do that kind of stuff. I mean, because there are things that are just universal with everybody that they don't realize is universal.
No, and they have no clue. And when you're able to let go and say those things without, you know, saying something like, well, I don't know if I should tell you this, but, you know, you just tell them and you don't make excuses. And in my book, I tell people, you make bold statements as if they are facts.
Yeah.
And you don't ask questions. A good psychic will never ask a question. Or a good, let's put it this way, a good performer.
Right.
You never ask questions, because if you ask them a question, number one, they can say no, or they can think that you're fishing. So all you have to do is just make bold statements, but you just size the person up and tell them.
Now, do you think that in these cold readings and the performers that they know that people's problems and what they need to say, maybe what they even need to hear, are pretty universal, but the person with the problem, because of possibly, like you said, this isolation, because of the internet and the whole thing, they think
texting
that they think they're 8-minute dating where everybody's ugly. Anyway, they think that they're the only ones with these problems. They're the only ones that are experiencing this. And so when you say these things, they go, "Oh my God," you know.
No, I don't think it's that. I think most people deep down, they know that it's basically love and money. You know, love and money, and maybe health, and maybe travel, and maybe career. But it basically boils down to love and money. And if you really want to boil it down, it's love.
But when you know
the velvet pillow, you know,
when you know that these are universal issues, it's easy for you to say these things. But maybe the person getting the reading does not know that their issues are universal. They feel that those issues are unique to them, and that's why they're willing to listen. And that's
the
why they're
best
willing
way to,
to
do it.
Yeah, when you think about what he's just said, that he's, you know, that the real issue is love.
Mm.
How much more personal can that be? I mean, for it being so universal, how much more personal and individual can you get?
That's right. And
so,
when you reach that point in a reading, a good reading, you know, because my experience is that, you know, I've had to do like 3.5-minute readings at some places where I literally am using an egg timer, which is totally ridiculous, but it's happened. You know, because there's a line of people, there's 30 people waiting to talk to you, so you have to really cut to the chase. So, in my experience, maybe the first 30 seconds, people are, you can tell what they want to talk about. And it's usually love or romance. And I mean, I don't know how to describe how I'm able to figure that out, but I mean, it's just like anything else. You learn to read people, and it may be it's close to profiling, you know. It's close to being judgmental. It's close to being racist. I mean, you know, you really, those terms come to mind. I mean, a gypsy is probably one of the biggest racists in the world, but they'd never hurt anybody or anything. The point is, they know how to categorize and pigeonhole people right away.
Right.
Within the first 30 seconds.
Right.
And that's the skill of it. The rest of it is just, you know, riding out the clock.
Yeah, I think you're right. I absolutely think you're right. Mark, I got to say, it was absolutely cool as hell that you called us. Is there anything, now you'd mentioned that you'd written some books. Is there anything here you want to kind of plug and let everybody know?
I'd love to mention my website. My website is www.markedwards.com. And there you will find, you know, all my show packages and what I do, and also my shop button, which is, right now there's about 16 books there.
Wow.
Covering mediumship to graphology, palmistry, all those things, and they're all done with a healthy dose of humor, and they're not new age books by any means. In fact, I started writing my books for magicians who wanted to become readers.
Nice.
So they're not made for, you know, the new age shop. That's why they're not available there. You have to get them at my website.
Now, it's pretty customary for authors to send us copies of all their books, but we won't make you send all of them.
It would be weird because you'd be the only one not doing
this. This is something you have to understand. I have a literary agent, just real quick.
Uh-huh.
I have a literary agent who's trying to sell my books, but check this out. She's like a Wiccan priestess.
Uh-huh.
So, guess what? I'm not exactly... I have no publisher because she doesn't really. She knows that I'm not a shut-eye. You know what a shut-eye is, right?
Uh huh.
You know, in other words, here I have a literary agent who is a shut-eye. So, is there any wonder why I can't get a publisher for my books? I mean, it just goes against her grain.
Right.
She'd like to make some money, but it's just, she's like this pagan goddess. What is she gonna? How is she gonna be able to pitch it? So my thing is, I have to publish these books on my own right now. And hopefully if the TV show goes, that will change. But they're all self-published. And as much as I'd love to send you a free copy, I have to pay to have them printed, you know. It's problematic.
Okay, we'll go buy a book.
But the thing is, most of them are limited editions, meaning once I reach the number that I put in the front of the book, like 1 of 100 or 1 of 200,
he's
then there's not going
to
be any more of them. So that's your incentive.
Yeah. That and you guilted the hell out of me.
You should see him crying.
It's just like if I was like Michael Shermer, I had like boxes and boxes of my books. Of course I'd send you all of them.
No, we're still waiting. We're just messing with you here. We're definitely going to take a look. I mean, you've got several subjects there that I'm very interested in anyway. So, definitely we'll be taking a look at that. We'll be, plugging you, you know,
Let's talk again when you guys think of a specific subject. And if this Chris Moon thing heats up any more than it, I don't know. I think we've reached as far as we can go unless we have other plans, right?
Well, you know, yeah, we'll keep that door open.
There's
definitely
always other plans.
Yeah, there's always other plans going on, so we'll keep that door open. But yeah, it's been great having you on the show. It was a very nice treat to get to talk to you and get to hear your insights on a lot of these things. It was very cool. And,
Thank you.
And let us know if you get any other ideas on how we can help push skeptologists. We will be behind you.
All you have to do is get on the computer, and you'll find it's not that difficult. They're like, for example, Anderson Cooper has a news desk, and all these different reality shows have news desks, and you know, you just have to send them and say, by the way, did you hear about this?
Yeah.
See what happens. And keep me in mind for your show. Who knows? You know.
Oh yeah.
I have
definitely
no contract. I have no allegiance to anybody. I have no scruples. I'm sorry.
We have no paychecks. We have, we're in touch with it. We know.
I hear you.
Oh, well, cool. Well, thank you so much. We will be talking to you very soon.
Okay, take care, you guys. Thanks a lot.
Have a great night.
All right.
Right. That was very cool.
Mediums, well done.
And I guess I decided to answer the right phone call because I was getting these ID restricted phone calls.
Yeah, where can I put this?
I just love that title.
Set it down. What is it?
Mediums, well done.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. So, yeah, I want to check out the books he's got there and see what would be good.
Ouch.
It is hot in here.
Well, that's normally how it is when I'm sitting next to you, so.
You can hit him anytime you want it.
Right? No, I'll throw up. I'll fart on his head later.
That's a great idea. Well, I don't know. What do we got? We got anything going on next week? Do we know?
There's some positive or possible things. There we go. Blah, blah, blah.
Are we?
Who was supposed to be your second guest today? Didn't you say you were having a second person?
That was me.
That was you were the second guest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, we're short a third person.
Yeah, we're short a third person, actually.
Oh, I thought that you always had two.
No.
No, not guest here. I mean, like somebody call in. Don't you usually have two people call?
No.
That was just a coincidence that he called? Ah, that's cool.
So
we sound absolutely dead, you know?
Yeah, well, it's we just done
hour and a half.
Hour and a half. I mean, who can be expected to work these kind of hours?
Hey, I've been up since 6-ish.
I went to bed at, well, I finally went to sleep at 5 and had to get up at 9:30.
Oh, so how did finals go today?
You know, I think I did pretty well. There was two cranial nerves that I got there. I got them mixed up.
Ah, so you know you messed those up.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, but yeah, like I don't know. It's always after you hand in, you go, oh, crap. I should have had a bigger breakfast or something, you know. But I'm sure I feel like I got an A anyway.
Well, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Outro?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, if we've got nothing to tell anybody for why they should pay attention.
No, we're good.
Next week, excuse me.
They know better already.
Oh,
I'm sure.
I should do one thing. I'm out of the chat room, but just as an interesting thing to do, open up Firefox.
Firefox is open.
Okay, go to Google.
Second here. Google.
God, what was this? Let me think. I'm losing it.
Riveting radio, people.
Don't
That's
fart.
Why we do this. What was
I
that?
Yeah, no, just hitting buttons.
Google these.
These?
These. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
Look at the number 2 hit.
These. Definition in the American.
Oh, no. It's moved.
This, that, these, those, here, there.
And scroll down.
These Wikipedia.
Wow.
In these time, 96 theses.
It's gone.
What did it used to say?
These Wiktionaries.
Huh?
That's what it was. I'm going to look.
These are powers.
I'm killing people here.
These days.
Tell everybody to go to bed.
These
walls. We'll do this offline.
We got to call our producer.
I got to go.
Exactly.
Say.
We have to.
Are you going to call Jack?
We have to call
who
Jack.
Who likes
the
me
producer.
Better than you?
Jack doesn't like
everybody
you.
Everybody likes
all.
Me better than
nobody
you.
Nobody likes you. I mean, even
your
the people,
mother likes me better
in
than you.
Oh, sorry. Not these. This.
This.
Google this.
So I got to do this again. Okay. These, this, whatever. This.
Look at the number 2 hit.
Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Pastafarian Pea Crush spotted this. Google this and the Church of the Flying FMS.
They were the number 1 hit.
My girlfriend was going to throw this out. Now, this is interesting. Oh.
Haven't you been there?
Well, this is vengaza.org.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been here, just not through looking up this. Isn't that?
So you have been touched by his noodly appendage.
Yes, I have been. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yes. Who hasn't been touched by his noodly appendage?
I haven't.
Well, you're missing out.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's good.
Oh,
it's
that's
noodly.
Awesome. That's awesome.
That was their ceramics project.
Yeah.
That looks like testicle.
Yeah. Scroll back up to that flag.
This one?
Yeah. Was sent to them by somebody who knitted this in jail. Look at the size of that
No
sucker.
Way.
Look at the guitar on top.
That is
the
big.
The size of that thing.
Somebody's in jail for a long time. And, you know, guessing by the fact that they knit, it probably was not a fun stay for them either. You know what I'm saying?
They were knitting a pirate flag,
though. Got what you're saying. Yeah, but it was a flying spaghetti monster pirate flag. It's even better.
Did you read the open letter to the Kansas School Board?
I've read a lot of it. I haven't read it in its
entirety.
It is
amazing. And, you know, their comparison of global warming to piracy.
Yes. It's beautiful.
And the drawing of him.
Oh, you read some of that to me, didn't you?
Yeah, the drawing of him creating the mountains and the trees and the midget, because we're all equal in his eyes.
Right. There, it's beautiful.
Oh, outro.
Yeah, I am totally going to be a Pastafarian. That's just the way it is. All right. Okay, we're out of here. It's been great, people.
Okay, bye.
Whatever. Oh, wait a minute. I got to be in the right program, I think.
Somebody told me that you were so stupid, but I didn't believe them. But now I believe them. Somebody told me that you were so stupid, but I didn't believe them. But now I believe them. Everybody's stupid. Everybody's stupid. Everybody's stupid about me. Oh, somebody told me that you were so stupid, but I didn't believe them. But now I believe them. Somebody told me that you were so stupid.